Welcome in Hysteria Nation to a haunting episode of Hysteria 51.
I would have gone with perfect episode since the bots are visiting Goforth for the week.
That's probably more appropriate, but I went with haunting because that is exactly what we're talking about this week, or at least someone who knows a hell of a lot about hauntings firsthand, one Mr. Anik Agroff.
That's right, and we're coming to you from the lower fourth dimension, also known as Chicago, with a ghostly tether, a ghostly Vincent Price tether, to parts unknown, Colorado. I'm David Flory, he's Brent Hand. Enough about us. Brent, what we got on the docket this week?
Death Walker!
Dead man walking.
That's what we got on FilmRise, if you nasty. That's the company putting this out recently, launched a new paranormal investigation series, Death Walker with Nick Groff. We're on season 3. They're working on season 4. It's a great show. You can watch it for free. How often do you say that on these things, you know?
In capitalist America? Never.
They're rolling out their whole 1 through 3 seasons on FilmRise. It's a free movie and TV app. You can get it on your phones and on your smart TVs and your doodads and whatchamacallits and whatever you kids have got in your pockets these days. But like, for once, no logins, passwords, credit cards, none of that crap. What a nice change. Yeah.
Plus, fans of it, or, you know, let's be honest, because it's the internet, hate-filled monsters can follow along with weekly episodic drops beginning with season 1 on the FilmRise True Crime YouTube channel. That's where I watched a couple of these.
Yeah, same here. So that's all well and good, but what the hell is it? Well, have no fear. We have a description ready. David, if you will, let them have it.
In the series, host Nick Groff theorizes and investigates on the origins of some of America's most notorious hauntings. Nick dives into the history books and powers up state-of-the-art ghost hunting equipment to redefine our understanding of the paranormal. You can tag along with Nick on his adventures to penitentiaries, asylums, high schools, gallows, old beauty salons, playgrounds that probably have a lot of lead paint, and all manners of spooky locales throughout the U.S. in search of ghosts. Whether or not the viewer believes in the supernatural, the series appeals to fans of true crime across the board.
I think that's an important distinction because I think a lot of people watch these shows because they want to believe, they believe it. Yeah. And that's great. And I think a lot of people watch these shows because they don't believe it. And they're like, liar, hack. And I would be interested to see what the breakdown is. But those people are probably just as big rabid fans as the other way around. Interestingly.
Maybe. Though. Yeah. I don't know. I don't. I myself personally don't watch these much. So I don't know.
You're too busy watching your or making your own ASMR videos, right? Is what you're using.
Exactly.
Got time. I'm gonna spit paint you.
I mean, what else am I gonna do with this prosthetic ear mic?
Yeah. And now ear eating with David Flora. Hopefully, we've been talking about this. Hopefully, you guys are familiar with Nick. But if you're not, no worries. Nick is a highly recognizable face in the paranormal television. So if you're not familiar with his name, I bet you'd recognize him if paranormal shows are up your alley or you've ever watched any of them. He's probably on it.
He was on one with Christina Weedman. He and her did a series together. I didn't talk to her, but I saw her. She was at the Milwaukee Paracon.
Oh, nice.
The second year of that, I think. She was one of the big headliners.
I didn't talk to her. I just stared at her.
Didn't talk. Just, lurked. I didn't say he knew me. I said he touched me on the head. Anyway.
I mean, what else was I going to do when I was stuck in her closet, you know? Anyway. Jesus, that went dark. Paranormal Lockdown, co-investigator, executive producer, editor, and cameraman on Ghost Adventures, seasons 1 through 11.
Whoa.
Both of which, those are available on Discovery Plus, and he's been on a lot of stuff, and then, more importantly right now, a Death Walker. So we're going to go to break. When we come back, Nick's going to join us and talk all things spooky on Hysteria 51. Hola, David. Me llamo Brent.
Bonjour, Brent. Je m'appelle David.
You didn't do Spanish. I thought if we were going to do this together, we'd do the same language.
Oh, sorry.
that's on brand for us.
I just thought romance languages was the key.
Everything I say is romantic, and that is thanks to Rosetta Stone. You guys, we've been touting these things forever. We love Rosetta Stone, and we actually are users. David, you've really been using it even for longer than I. What's your experience been like?
Oh, it's been great. The thing is, you really get to learn how to speak and think in that language with it, so it's very high on pronunciation, too, so you can, you know, learn how to speak.
And you know our show is all about proper pronunciation.
In that pronunciation, yeah, that's right. But they design it for long-term retention, you know? If you don't get the pronunciation right, you say it until you do, and then, you know, that just seeps into your head.
Well, and that's why, you know, this has been trusted by experts for 30 years, and there's over 25 different languages that you can learn, and people, millions and millions of users use it because, like you said, it does seep in, and you're using it with, you know, you get speech recognition, and mm-hmm. it hears you. You get to use, like, the built-in true accent features that gives you this pronunciation, which is super convenient, and you can do it at your own time. And I don't know if you know this, but I'm all about value, and you get a one-time purchase, 25 languages. If I learned all 25 languages, I'd be so confused. Or really cool. I'd go in and out.
But you'd be real marketable.
But literally, though, this is something that we use, and both of us have given the seal of approval because we wanted to do this long term, and it's something that it works, you know. And we don't do long term stuff like this. And this is the one that we've chosen, and we love it. So, all you guys got to do, don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now, as we've told you 1,000 times, and it's always now. Right now, get started. For Larry Limited Time, Hysteria 51 listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off.
How much?
50%. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your unnatural life.
Wow.
Redeem, redeem, redeem. How do they do it?
Rachete, you're 50% off. Rachete. Redeem it. 50% off, rosettastone.com/today. Do it today. Nation, why are so many dogs suffering with health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So, she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her own dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health.
And David, that's super important to us because, as you know, my wife and I have 2 rescue dogs, and they are fantastic. They're so much fun, and they're buttholes, as you know, and that's because all dogs are, and that's what makes them so sweet. And we want to make sure that we feed them the best, and that's why we were super excited when Badlands approached us, because that's what we feed them, because we wanted to make sure that we feed them the best. And this was a no-brainer for us, because we want to make sure that we are treating the dogs how we would want to be treated. I like to think my dogs would be taking care of me like I take care of them, even though I don't feed myself nearly as good a food as I feed them.
That's great. You guys at home can rebutthole your dog. If you go to badlandsfood.com/hysteria and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular priced order with a 90-day money-back guarantee.
Yeah, that's right. If you want your dog to experience all the incredible things, and maybe even like mine, non-scratching and back to his butthole self, go to badlandsfood.com/hysteria today. Nation, welcome back in, and more importantly, Nick, welcome to the show. How goes? How are you?
Thank you. I appreciate you having me on.
Well, thank you very much for sticking it out in the schlumming it with us people this week.
It's better than being outside in the cold. That's
yeah,
just
right. Sure. I'll take it. I guess so. But yeah, so you know, we're having you on here before. It's weird because I've been watching you for years and years on television. You know, like you're. you haunt my dreams or something. Like every time I turn around, hey. That didn't come out weird.
No, it's all good. You're not the first person to say that to me. It is strange. It's a strange journey from, from being a kid, not knowing I was going to take this path, and kind of, I guess it's weird to call it a career in a sense, where I'm continuing to do this, but I never expected it to be something, to be honest with you. We're searching the weird unknown.
Ghosts are pretty cool. And you're like, yeah, I'm going to make money off that. That's what I'm going to do.
Yeah, it's like that came second. And that's the weird part, because I didn't think about that. When I was 8 years old, I had a near-death experience. I ripped open my left side of my arm, almost died. My mom saved my life. I hit a cyclone fence, shredded my arm to the bone. After that, I just started having weird experiences, seeing a shadow figure in my house. And then as I went through life, eventually I was actually really big into UFOs, extraterrestrials, space and time. That was my upbringing. Yeah. Just being that weird kid looking out at stars and saying what else is out there. And my godparents, my sister's godparents who lived in Nevada, they would talk about, Art Bell, who I didn't know at the time. Mm-hmm. I was 13 years old. They introduced me to Art Bell. They introduced me to Area 51. They introduced me to his father helped build the bunkers at Area 51. Wow. So before he died, he talked about that. So, I was introduced to a lot of that weird kind of phenomenon and stuff like that. Then my grandmother would talk about ghosts and hauntings. And
so just a normal childhood, completely normal.
I was that weird kid in about 13, 14 years old. I was sitting in my room and I was unfolding. Remember maps? Like you could actually unfold a map and say, oh. I was trying to search for Area 51 on the map, and my dad would walk in the room and I would go, I'm going to Area 51 someday. And he would just turn around and walk out of the room,
I'm going to do it, Dad, I swear. Speaking of Area 51 and my lovely wife who indulges me in the stupid things, when we were on our honeymoon, we were driving through Nevada and I talked her into letting us go to the back gate and she humored me. So, at least I've been outside of there. I don't think it was her ideal honeymoon, but it's part of mine, my ideal honeymoon.
Yeah, there you go. It's not your destination. You were thinking Tropic Island.
That's a destination wedding I could have. Yeah.
That was for better or for worse part of the vows, right?
Yeah. We kicked that in really quick into the...
Instead, you take her to where you're getting scoped from like a cross line. Right? If you go across that line, they will take you hostage. It's crazy out there. I've been to the little town of Rachel is what you're talking about.
Where little alien and all that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And you get some beef jerky on the way at the little beef jerky stand and stuff. It's weird. It's such a strange place. But what's bizarre about Area 51 is they keep building onto it and everything's underground. So you got Area 52, you got it into the mountains. I mean, there's so much stuff going on and it's just a weird world right now that we're living in with the four, the four things, unidentified aircrafts or whatever.
Things
we're
is right.
What are we calling them now? Balloons, aircrafts? I don't know. They're shooting them down. It's been strange. I see an influx since 2020 of UFO phenomena happening recently. Now we're calling them what? UAPs?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So to get rid of the connotations, which are still there, but it is a weird time. And now we're so used to them. We see them and they're like, shoot it down. Just shoot.
I know what's happening. Like they have all the answers of life and stuff. Right. And they're like, nah.
No.
We need power and gasoline and whatever.
That's right. Well, so, you're talking about having a near-death experience and maybe that brought you to be able to see these things or close to it. How did you go from being interested in ghosts like that? And of course, you were inundated, it sounds like, as a child, to being an investigator, to then being on TV. What was the lineage or how did that
progression,
work out?
Yeah.
Honestly, the trampoline pivotal point in my life was when I saw a show called Sightings. It was 2004. It was October. I remember it like yesterday. And I was in my little apartment. I just graduated college, UNLV. And I had all this film, like camera gear that I got because I was shooting wedding videos. I was trying to make money out of college. I was overqualified for any job. No one would hire me. So I was shooting some wedding videos. And I met a couple of guys while I was doing that. And I really still wanted to see if ghosts existed. So, I was big into the UFOs, all that. I took a trip during my spring break in college up to, I went to all the haunted mining towns, Goldfield, Tonopah, Rachel, Area 51.
The Clown Motel.
the Clown Motel. Yeah. Didn't stay there, but I was, Virginia City, Nevada. And I came back and I'm like, man, I saw this sightings docu. It was like a special that they did on the Sally House and the guy getting scratched and everything. And I was like, okay, if that's really happening, the camera's not cutting away, I'm seeing it actually happen as it's occurring with this news team, I'm like, I really want to see if this type of stuff exists, you know, because I'm such a deep thinker, you know, about space, time, right, all this stuff, and different ideas and thoughts and theories and whatever.
And so I've really got all these cameras.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. So what I figured out is I called these two other guys that I knew. One snuck into my college class back then, Aaron, and then the other guy I met, he was a wedding DJ, Zach. Mm. And I basically said, you guys want to go look for ghosts? And that's how it all happened, honestly. And then I learned one talks more than the other, and I knew how to hit the record button on the camera. It became a documentary. And all I did is I saw everything we were doing on the road, and I had all these mini DV tapes and a lot of our experiences that were legitimate, that were really cool. And I just molded a narrative behind it, and I just turned it into something that I didn't even think it would turn into a phenomenon. Basically, I got it. Remember those Hollywood agency books like back in the 2000s where you would get them? You're like this little filmmaker guru and you're like, oh, I'm going to call an agent or whatever. I just started calling everybody saying, you got to see this documentary. You got to see this real evidence we captured. We were all over the news. It was nothing back then. And I got this one guy convinced on the phone to show it to us. And it's like out of a David Lynch movie. And we went to Mulholland Drive in LA. I drove my little crappy car, you know, right there with no money, showed it to him. He liked it. And he was an agent who represented somebody who distributed it through Sci-Fi. So that's kind of all how it happened in a nutshell. In 2007, it got picked up, aired on Sci-Fi, Ghost Ventures documentary. And then after I made that, I went on, turned it into, I guess we got a chance to turn it into a reality show. And that basically 2008 on, it's become that. And then from there, it was cool because I could go to all these locations and I had some really genuine experiences that were like mind blowing, that like really transformed my mind into thinking differently, you know, because I was a young kid. I didn't know what the heck I was doing, running around in the dark, come and get me ghost or whatever, being kind of dumb at times, being naive about things. And then I had this really profound experience at the Linda Vista Hospital where I turned around. I saw a woman standing 2 feet in front of my face, wearing a hospital gown. That scared the crap out of me.
Yeah.
And I was so determined to figure out who this Jane Doe was at this hospital. So I went to the coroner's office in LA, which by the way is really morbid and decrepit. I remember talking to the coroner and he hit a button on the wall and the whole metal door opens up and there's like 500 dead bodies in front of me. We walked through the corners and he's talking about Jane Doe. And I think we pinpointed who this lady possibly could be from research of a hit and run, and it was an organ donor that went bad, and that's why the hospital was shut down in the time, the 80s, 90s. And a nurse validated that they would see the same patient show up while they were doing surgeries in there, the same girl that I saw, and she would just disappear while doctors and stuff were working on patients. So I think that's the type of stuff that pushed me in the direction. And once I went through all these experiences and once my brain evolved a little bit and I started understanding stuff a little bit more logical, because I'm very like, I believe, but there's also, you have to have the skepticism and like logical thinking at the same time. So you can't just, everything's paranormal, you know, it's kind of stupid.
I think it too, and it's an unfortunate fact of the world is, you can say it as much as you want, but unless I see it, you know, unfortunately, or that person sees it, then there's always that feeling of skepticism. But like you just said, all these people are seeing the same woman, all right? And so they all have the same story. Could some people be lying? Yes. But if tons of people are seeing, are they all lying? Probably not. So there's got to be something in there to it. And I love the fact that you're like, all right, let's figure out that. Let's look into it.
Well, that's what I always say. I love listening to people that have experiences, because at the end of the day, I can't take their experiences away from them, right? That's their experience. It's the same thing that happened to me. It's like, I know it happened. You don't. I do. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, unless we have definitive proof, like documented right here in front of us, people are still going to judge it, you know, because it's film and anything can be done these days. It's crazy. So it's like, I think you have to be there to go through it, experience it, feel it, you know, just whatever, and try to rationalize what happened in your brain. It's hard to come to a conclusion on stuff like that. But, you know, I've been to hundreds of locations, some of the most sinister, historically driven in the world. And, you know, there's been a couple of times that I've been nervous and scared. It's that negative energy that really gets under my skin. And energy is a real thing. You know, we produce positive and negative energy, and positive and negative people die, and a lot of that energy lingers. But I'm more fascinated in not just the energy, but the consciousness that we collect in our brains, like the information that we're storing here. Where does that consciousness go? Does that linger? Does that stay behind at locations with dramatic effects or tragedies that have occurred? And not until, honestly, when I was filming Deathwalker, the new series I'm doing now, I documented one of the most compelling pieces of evidence I haven't seen in a long time. And the reason I say that is because it's shot in 4K and it's in low light capability. There's no infrared. There's no obstruction. There's two cameras filming at the same time in RAW, which, if anyone knows anything about cinematography, we have low light where these cameras in RAW, you can see everything. You can see the details. One's on a tripod, and then the other one is on a Ronin camera. My cousin's holding it. It's only two of us in there. Now, what's weird about this is this entity, what I call an entity arm in hand, kind of comes behind me in the background of me after this noise that we hear of a sound being thrown. And you can see it like reaching in and reaching out really fast. And it's clear as day. Wow. I actually took the footage, the raw footage, not edited down, none of that like stuff for after the fact. I took and I sent the footage to the Buffalo Film School to have a video professor analyze it. He's been doing it for like 30 something years. So he took the raw footage and he was like, his first thing he said to me is like, man, you got some balls on you. You sent me both the raw footage. And I was like, okay, how is he doing this? How is he fooling me? What did he use? What's the CGI? You know, all that stuff. He started looking into it and he determined that nothing was faked. Nothing was of elements of like environment or like, you know, hair falling from the lens or artifacting, anything like that. We went through everything for a good 2 hours or so after he had it for a couple of days of analyzing it by himself. So he determined that it is something unnatural. What it is, we don't know. But then it opened up my mind to, okay, here I am again back into my UFOlogy. Could it be an interdimensional being? Or is it a spirit? Or is it an entity hand? We know that there was workers. There was hundreds of people that died at this location called the Western Block in Lockport, New York. The owner and several dozens of people have seen an apparition walking around. Another guy who was an ex-cop documented an apparition walk around. So I just documented something that was just, it was just so clean and clear on video. For the first time, I was like, wow, this isn't just like a shadow figure, a glimpse, or like a speck in the background, or us trying to like determine if something is something, you know, like whatever you want to call an orb or something. We try to make something out of an orb, something stupid. So I think this is what really, I don't know, just was like, man, this is amazing. So we just went back there for Deathwalker because we're shooting another episode for season four. And I brought engineers back. I brought like new camera equipment. I even brought a medium. I went the distance because I really, truly want to know, is this an interdimensional being or is this some sort of like fragment of time slip of somebody that was working there? Because the entity arm had three fingers on it. So you can actually see the heat signatures. And that's what the video analysis showed. He showed heat signatures on the elbow and the hand and the fingers, I think it was. And that's what was really interesting. It was almost like either something that had a cloak capability or something that was observing the area. Or is it, I don't know, a split in time where this worker lost his fingers, you know, is working and stuff like that. I don't know. It's very strange, but you can't just determine suddenly it's a ghost or suddenly it's Frank, the spirit who died here in 1800s or.
I don't know. People do that all the time. Just, you know.
Yeah, they decided.
On TV, they do that a lot. But I try to go the distance and be a little bit more factual with my information and putting out there.
That's awesome, though. And it's almost like one of those things where it happens and you got this and you're like, well, shit, now I gotta like do way more work like to my investigation, you know.
But that's like the holy grail, that's what you're after.
And that's what I'm seeing an influx of on a lot of paranormal shows these days. It's just so oversaturated to the point where it's like, okay, we got this location, move on. It becomes almost like this turnkey production is what I call it. It's
instead just of actually like investigating the place.
What happened what happened to the core elements of the passion, man? Why people got into this, not just for I'm on TV for 5 minutes and, oh, we got this, cool, move on. You know, like when you grab something, like that's amazing. You're opening up the can to so many different conversations of people with like minds that are actually interested or have had experiences, or even the owners of the location. You know, when you go there and you do justice on a historical location, you want to present evidence, but not just say, here's what I captured. All right, great. Thanks. I'm moving on. You want to show something a little bit further. And that's why I felt it was compelling enough to take to a third party person to analyze this further and to show, okay, what else could it be? This guy doesn't care if it was paranormal or not. Like he was more interested in the idea of, is this real or is it not? And how is this possible? So that's what I find interesting. And then I brought in a UFOologist at the end, and he was talking about, he showed me a map of all the pinpoints of all the UFO accounts, which is huge in Western New York, actually. And I was actually shocked how many more that I have not seen. They've been, him and his father have been doing it for about 35 something years. I'm probably forgetting the exact number, but it's been a long time, and their account is huge on this stuff. So it just goes back to the, you know, what are we actually communicating with, and what else is beyond just the scope of our dimension or our reality or other things that is happening? And that's why I really got interested in this. And I felt that was a good one to just go a little bit further in.
That's one of the things that I find very fascinating about this subject matter, is that I'm fully aware of us not knowing what we don't know. You know, you don't know what you don't know. And so therefore, it kind of irks me sometimes when people say, you know, I know how to test for these things, I know what equipment to use for these things, blah, 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 when it's like, it can't be reproduced half the time, or a lot of times 80 to 90% of the time you can't reproduce stuff. So it's hard to say for sure what we're seeing or what we're not seeing. But then again, we still don't know exactly how to test for these things. We don't know what kind of equipment to use and what will pick up if there is something there that's not, you know, based completely in our understanding of physics or the laws of the universe or whatever. So it's wild, and I don't think that is enough to say don't ever look at this stuff. You should. That should make you want to experiment more, you know, to find out what does work and what could tell us more about this stuff if there's something going on.
Exactly. And that's life, right? We're all supposed to be, you know, at the end of the day, I don't think we'll ever truly have the full answers, because I think it's multiple amounts of answers. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, everyone thinks that, oh, you die and there's either this or there's that, and it's in a box or it's black and white, right? And what I've learned through my career of doing this, in talking to extremely smart, high Q, intelligent, and researching Nikola Tesla and different engineers and, you know, scientists, and I've met all sorts of people that have died, come back to life. And I think multiple things happen. And I don't think there is one right answer. And that's the weird part about being human, is we're all equally born into this world, but we all have different journeys to take, and we have different information that we collect and experience, but then we die. I mean, the fact is we're all dying. Every second we're talking right now, we're passing away in a sense, but there is, the notion of time doesn't even exist. We create time as human beings because we have to go to bed, we have to wake up and go to work and whatnot. And we like to label things as such, so we can, you know, kind of go through life properly, so we don't lose our minds and have some sort of anarchy. So I think at the end of the day, there's multiple things that happen, because what we're using with the tools that we only have knowledge to use, and we could think of the coolest experiment to do, like you see on every other paranormal show. Like I'm using experiments on Deathwalker that I'm trying to push the barrier, where we're doing different things, not just the same old pseudoscience. It's all pseudoscience, you know, because we don't actually have certain things that can actually document everything that we're talking about, like even the spectrum of light. Like we're only seeing a glimpse of that spectrum of light. Animals are here, and then it's like huge amount of spectrum we're missing. So you talk about like what scientists are doing, or what they're doing at Area 51, or what compulsion they're using. They're way advanced right now that we don't even know about, probably 50 years from what we don't even like can comprehend, you know, with drones and
what's other just beyond things. Our spectrum is a thing that, like, what are we missing that's right over your shoulder, so to speak, you know, is kind of a, a scary thing to think about, and also it's something we can't grasp that is, you know, right on the, you know, on the tip of our understanding, but it's beyond us. Hard to imagine, but easy to imagine too, I guess. You know?
Yeah. And I think at the end of the day, that's what makes this all fascinating. As long as we stay true to ourselves and we search for what we actually want to search for and have passion behind that, then there has to be a principle. And I'm just speaking for myself right now, because everyone's different in what they're thinking or what they want to do in life. But for me, it's like, I want to revolutionize the way we think in the paranormal field, as far as like, is there something groundbreaking, or is there something new that we can discover that makes us just have a conversation about it? Yeah. I don't have to have all the right answers, but it could be that entity hand in arm. And here we are talking about, what is it? I don't know. Is it an interdimensional being, or is it a spirit, or is it something else? A slip in time, you mm-hmm. know, different realities from 1800s and now coming together.
But what I'm is important sure. is we are talking about it because of what exactly. you're doing. That's the thing, you know, too many times, too many people have experiences or have things like this, you know, not even investigators, and then don't want to speak about it or let it go, or scientists don't want to look into things, or people don't want to talk about it. And I think it's important, you know, for better or worse, however you want to look at it, that we're having these conversations.
And this is what you're doing with Deathwalker, right?
Yeah, so Deathwalker now, I'm kind of, it's me and my cousin, Justin, we go in, just the two of us, no camera crews, like big camera crews, like 40 people and all that stuff. We just go in, we document what we investigate. I'll sleep there for a couple days sometimes. Sometimes it's just me by myself, lugging the camera around, document everything, and then it's compiled down into an hour episode that we released on FilmRise. So everyone in America can watch it right now for free. On FilmRise, you can download the FilmRise app on your iPhone, Android, or whatever device you have. If you have fast channels, you can pretty much get it on your TV. Also, it's on YouTube. It's on FilmRise's True Crime YouTube channel. And also now it's on Roku channel. Nice. So it's pretty much free for everyone in America to watch. If you're in the United Kingdom, you can watch it on Discovery Plus. It's airing season 3 right now, and every Friday out there in United Kingdom, and we're opening it up to different countries. We're working on it. It's just been a great journey. I love doing it this way. You know, it's away from all the red tape and stuff, going mm-hmm. through several different people to like cut it down or whatever, you know, like the old TV projects where it's like, we need to bump out. We need it to be scarier. Yeah. Yeah. Stuff like that. Yeah. So now it is what it is. It's very raw. It's very, I think we do a great job with the historical data in the beginning. So we're presenting the beginning, the intro, with historical documentation of what the location factually is without stretching the story or anything like that. We do a really good job on that with all of our research. And then we dive into the interviews. And then from the interviews, we learn kind of what we're dealing with and what has happened from the owners, managers, and people. Then we go into our investigation. We present you with our evidence in real time as it's happening, and then conclusion. And that's kind of how we move through it. And sometimes some episodes turn into a couple of days. Some turn into more research, a couple of weeks. And then we come back to it and do the evidence of the analysis or whatever, if it comes to that, like taking it a little bit further. But yeah, we work really hard on it for just a small little team. Putting this together. So I'm really proud of it.
As well, you should be. It's a lot of fun to watch. It's entertaining, and it's, you know, thought provoking too. Like you said, because you are doing a lot of actual research. And David goes, and he said this too, when we were talking, he goes, it's shot really well. You know, just like, all this stuff. You
thanks. Know, really well. That's me and my cousin. We shot everything ourselves. I appreciate it. Yeah.
Well, if everyone wants to see this, like I said, he told you here, we're going to have links in the show notes. Nick, thanks so much for hopping on here and talking with us, and can't wait to keep watching you on television, you know, and keep it coming. Cause I think, like we said, what you're doing is really important, and we're happy to have you on here.
Thank you guys. Yeah. I appreciate all the support. Yeah. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, guys, we're going to go to break, and we'll be right back with more Hysteria 51. Ghosts, man. Ghosts.
Can't live with them, and they can't be standing up.
Yeah, that's it. Ghosts. Man, super easy to go and guy, super easy to talk to.
Yeah. Very nice with the conversation, very down to earth, and was with us, you know, wasn't that's a thing, like, super, super nice guy, super chill.
Didn't talk at us, talked to us.
Talked to us and, yeah, listened. And the thing is, you know, with these shows, I'm not into them personally. And I think there's a lot of stuff that are said in a lot of these shows that I very much disagree with.
You, in these shows, you mean, you're saying in the world of paranormal television?
Yes, and especially ghost hunting shows, yeah. You know, stuff like that. And I'm not in it to fight with people. Mm-hmm. We were talking about this just, you know, in between here. Mm-hmm. I don't want to get in a fight with someone who's coming on here and trying to do good stuff, but might have one or two ideas that are, for me, off base. You know, one of the things that we didn't really get around to talking with him about was stone tape theory, which we just did. And you know, I'm not big on that. Mm-hmm. And yet, it's, you know, they're taking time out of their lives to come and talk to us as jabrones. And I don't want to fight with somebody. I don't want to be like, show us your science on this, you know?
Show me your science. Whip it out.
That's an assault.
That's assault, brother.
But that's, if it were me with him on the show, I would, you know, make it constructive, make it a challenge, you know, say, we got to show how the walls absorb the sound, or why would something stay here? What do you mean by positive and negative energy when energy is just energy? You know, there are some things I would challenge to or be constructive, like show us instead of just telling.
Well, but and it's I don't really know how to do too. That. Like, I'm excited to see. I want to see this footage and stuff. How he got something, and I also enjoy when people are like, I got this. I'd like to send this to someone to have it and look.
That's great. I would love to see that video too. Did you get the sense that that was out yet, or are they still working on that?
Video. I'm not aware if that one's out, and I guess I should have asked. I think that's coming up in season 4.
Okay,
which is they're working on now. But hopefully, I'll clarify that if I'm wrong. I'll try to put it in the show notes. But yeah,
no, I love that, and that's exactly the reason why these shows should happen, is to capture something like that. The only way. Having a third party, you know, review it and everything with no vested interest and no bias, that's perfect. That's great. That's science. With that, I was wanting to ask him, didn't get a chance to. I was wanting to ask if he had two angles of it, because to me, that makes it a lot more credible if you have two angles of the same thing.
So,
you know,
he did. So they had a tripod and another one.
That's what he was saying, but I wasn't clear if that was actually the case or not.
It was on two so that they could look at it on both of them, is the way I do
it. I love that.
Yeah.
You know, that's awesome.
That's almost more. If it's on two, you're like, shit, something's there. You know what I mean?
Something's there. And that's what we're looking for. And the crazy thing is, when we're talking about ghosts and stuff, we are presuming that these are like projections of something, right? They are not corporeal. They don't have a heat signature, you would think. So if it does, I liked that he himself brought up, could this be like something cloaked or watching us?
He's like, I'm not saying this is ghosts because I don't know what it was. And that goes into that whole science of what don't we understand and other dimensions.
Yeah. And that's why I wanted to bring that up too.
Spectrum, you know, the. My dogs are always looking at something I can't see, and I'm just like, nope, don't like that. You know, whatever that might
just
be.
Just asbestos, that's okay.
Yeah, I wouldn't worry about it. Just go sniff that stuff, it's fine. Look, it's snowing. There's a whole world of stuff that we don't understand, and like he said, we'll probably never have all the answers, but I like that people like him are out there at least looking for it and asking the questions. And, you know, if you guys are yourselves investigators of the woo-woo weird paranormal, I'd love to hear your guys' stories. I like hearing stories of people that do this and go, I got my, you know, my socks knocked off by this because I was just terrified or whatever. You know, he's talking about sleeping in these places for a couple of days.
Right.
You know, I wonder what their underwear budget is on a per season, you know.
that's factored into the budget. Yeah. That's a line item. Probably by Manscaped. That's a thing, man. So I watched a couple of these, and he is very much, and again, we had limited time with him. We kind of wanted to get to the meat with without going too much into the gravy, but I wanted to ask him, because he, in the show, he keeps saying he feels things, he senses things, he gets mental pictures. One of them, he felt a scratch on his hand. You know, there are all these things that he's talking about experiencing to the camera.
Yeah.
And he mentioned having that near-death experience. Mm-hmm. A lot of people say they are more sensitive to this type of stuff after something like that.
Right.
I just wanted to know if he maybe considered himself a medium, or if he considered himself just sensitive to it, because he did mention they had a medium coming with him. So I'm on the show.
Is he just someone, like you said, like, is he more just like, I'm susceptible, susceptible to it?
Right.
Or is
he?
That's interesting.
It's real hard to say.
Right.
Yeah.
Be interesting to hear the distinction. Well, unfortunately, yeah, we didn't have a ton of time with him. We had a limited time, and that time ran out very quickly, as it is one to do. So.
Yeah, but it was very kind of him to talk with us. And
yep.
Like I said, it's hard because he does come across as an intelligent man. He thinks about the stuff. I would like to see a little bit more of that skepticism he was talking to us about in that show. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I've only seen a small handful, so I can't judge anything about the show itself. If you guys out there like these paranormal ghost hunting shows, this will be right up your alley.
Yeah.
Go ahead and check it out.
It's well filmed, well done, well researched, mm-hmm. so there's nothing, you know.
And it's not like crazy over the top like they make them.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, right. It's not one of those things where jump scare, oh God, oh Jesus, it's coming right for us, you know, and stuff like that. It's more of a, we're going to go in here and we're going to actually look into what's going on, or at least they seem like they're trying to, and that's great.
I do appreciate that, and it was very interesting and telling, I think, because he brought that up. He said, you know, we don't have the red tape, we don't have the somebody saying we need to amp this up before the break. Or
I thought
whatever.
That was interesting. He goes, "There's no more of a this needs to be scarier. Go make this scarier."
Yeah, yeah.
He's like, yeah, I don't like that. That's an interesting thing he said. You know, like, obviously,
but that's a thing. You know, that's something I think as viewers we always have to keep in the back of our minds. Some of this stuff, not all of it, but some of it is there for production value and is kind of amped up. And I think this show does that a lot less than the mainstream ones do.
Right. They have to have it to an extent because it's entertainment. It can't just be I don't know, man. Did you,
who's going to watch?
Did you feel anything? Did you see anything?
Although they did have Finding Bigfoot for what, 8 or 9 seasons and never found him.
Trying to find Bigfoot.
Still trying to find Bigfoot.
Yeah, that's true.
Maybe that's what you and I should do. Maybe we should be like, we haven't found anything yet, but we're looking.
Right. This week we're trying to find whores. This week I'm trying to find your homework, Nation, outside of trying to find Bigfoot. What are your shows? Like I was saying, do any of you guys do this on your own and you've had experiences? Or what are the shows that you like watching outside of, and especially Death Walker or Ghost Adventures or anything like that? Let us know. You can let us know by going to Facebook, looking up Hysteria Nation, let us know in there. Tweet to us at Hysteria51Pod. Of course, you can go on our Patreon, get all these episodes, Up All Nights, radio dramas, Mad Blur Serious, tons of stuff on there for free. All the episodes are on there without ads, so that's very nice. And you can leave us a voicemail, 773-669-7277. Again, 773-669-7277. We're about overdue for another voicemail episode, so we'll have one of those coming up in the near future. And
I would say if you guys have any stories to share,
yeah, that'd be a perfect thing.
Let's collect them.
Tell us your ghost story. Call in 773-669-7277 or go to hysteria51.com, click on the microphone and tell us your story. Super
and easy. If you have any news stories you want us to discuss, I mean, it even popped up in this conversation with all the stuff getting shot down. Weird at hysteria51.com. W-E-I-R-D at hysteria51. Tell us what news articles you'd like us to discuss.
And unfortunately, I hate to say this, all Hysteria 51 balloon rides are suspended until further notice. So
it's not us, man. It's the FCC. FAA. All Sorry. It's both of them. Suspended. They're conspiring. Let's just say the government. The government's making us do it.
Yeah, man. You're killing all the three-letter business, man. Places.
FCC, FAA, everything.
The
MTV. Close the airspace over
CNN. Anyway, thanks for coming on the ride with us, and we're gonna see you next time on Hysteria 51.
Bye now.
It was terrible. It was just terrible. I'll never get over it as long as I live.
That's it for another edition of Hysteria 51. We'll be back next week with yet more of the unexplained, the unexplored, and the unheard of. Oh, if it's unheard of, how will they know about it? Anyway, if you want to suggest a topic, give us your thoughts, or just make fun of Conspiracy Bot, that's my favourite, join us in our Facebook discussion group, Hysteria Nation. Just log on to Facebook and search Hysteria Nation, or you can always tweet us at Hysteria51Pod.
You've been listening to a fourth-hand joint.